It was the sharp bite of the wire flex into his wrists that brought Bond to himself. He was aching all over as if he had been thrashed with a wooden club, but when he was yanked to his feet and pushed towards the narrow side road where the engine of the Citroën was already running softly, he found that no bones were broken. But he felt in no mood for desperate attempts to escape, and allowed himself to be dragged into the back seat of the car without resisting. He felt thoroughly dispirited and weak in resolve as well as in his body. He had had to take too much in the past 24 hours, and now this last stroke by the enemy seemed almost too final. This time there could be no miracles. No one knew where he was, and no one would miss him until well on into the morning. The wreck of his car would be found before very long, but it would take hours to trace the ownership to him. And Vespa. He looked to the right, past the thin man who was lying back with his eyes closed. His first reaction was one of scorn. Damn fool girl getting herself trussed up like a chicken, having her skirt pulled over her head as if the whole of this business was some kind of dormitory rag. But then he felt sorry for her. Her naked legs looked so childlike and defenceless. Vespa, he said softly. There was no answer from the bundle in the corner, and Bond suddenly had a chill feeling. But then she stirred silently. At the same time, the thin man caught him a hard backhanded blow over the heart.
Silence!
Bond doubled over with the pain, and to shield himself from another blow, only to get a rabbit punch on the back of the neck, which made him arch back again, the breath whistling through his teeth. The thin man had hit him a hard, professional cutting blow with the edge of the hand. There was something rather deadly about his accuracy and lack of effort. He was now again lying back, his eyes closed. He was a man to make you afraid. An evil man. Bond hoped he might get a chance of killing him. Suddenly the boot of the car was thrown open, and there was a clanking crash. Bond guessed that they had been waiting for the third man to retrieve the carpet of spiked chainmail. He assumed it must be an adaptation of the nail-studded devices used by the resistance against German staff cars. Again he reflected on the efficiency of these people and the ingenuity of the equipment they used. Had M underestimated their resourcefulness? He stifled a desire to place the blame on London. It was he who should have known, he who should have been warned by small signs and taken infinitely more precautions. He squirmed as he thought of himself washing down champagne in the Roi Galant while the enemy was busy preparing his counterstroke. He cursed himself, and cursed the hubris which had made him so sure the battle was won and the enemy in flight.